Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us today. We've been doing a series on the five love languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. And today we're going to be covering our last love language, which is receiving gifts. So far we did an overview of the five love languages. Then we went into each language. And so the first one we did words of affirmation, then acts of service, quality time, and in the last episode we did physical touch. So today we're going to be jumping into receiving gifts. So if you haven't already, come over to our Facebook group and let us know what your love language is. We have a post that's pinned to the top of our Facebook group, and you can take the test and then just screenshot your results and post it in that thread. We'd love to hear what your primary and secondary love languages are. So receiving gifts as a love language really refers to the act of giving and receiving tokens of affection that are symbolic of love and thoughtfulness. They are just a powerful way to signify love, appreciation, and commitment. So for individuals who resonate with this love language, it really is a powerful way, and it impacts them when people give them gifts because it shows that they are thought of, they're loved, they're appreciated. And so I want to go into some key components about gifts. So the first one is symbolism of the gift, that the gift doesn't necessarily have to be something that costs a lot of money, but the gift just represents that they are thought of and there is effort put into selecting it. It's about the gift representing the giver's love and attention to the person that they're giving it to, that they know, you know, their needs, their tastes, their desires, and something that would just make them happy, or something that when they're given the gift, they know that they are thought of, which is the next key component.
And I think a deep part of this that's important to understand is that when people have the love language of gifts, it's not about receiving the item, but it's about that representation that that item shows that you know me, you've been thinking about me, that you care about me. And I think of all the love languages, this is something that could be easily misunderstood as something that it's shallow or people just being materialistic and just wanting more things. But really what it is it's a representation of the love and the knowledge that you have for the person when you give them a gift that connects with them. And so that's really in line with this idea of thoughtfulness, that when you're giving a gift to somebody who has that love language of gifts, you need to be thoughtful in what you're giving them. It's not just some random thing, but it's really stopping to think, who is my partner? What do they like? What do they appreciate? What do they need? And the gift that you get them represents to them how much you care about them and also how well you know them. And so if your partner is gifts, you don't want to just go out and wing a gift. You want to stop and think and be careful and considerate about what the gift is.
People who have this love language really appreciate and often feel loved through the thought and the effort behind the gift. It shows that the person that's giving this gift to them has been paying attention to their likes, their interests, and their desires. And this is actually my lowest one for how I receive love, but I love to give gifts to others. And I love to do exactly that. I love to pay attention to the interests and desires of others. I love to pay attention to what people are saying. And even if it's something small where we're cooking in the kitchen together and they say something like, oh man, I really need a new spatula. Even though that spatula isn't really a cool gift to give, I like to go and I get it for them and give it to them because I want them to know that I've been listening and that I see them and I know them and I want to be able to meet their needs. And so gifts are really low for me on receiving gifts. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love to get gifts and receive gifts, but it's the lowest of my five love languages. But I love to give a good gift that's very thoughtful and based off of something that someone has said that maybe was even a passing statement that they didn't even really think anything of. As we've been talking to people about the five love languages, one of the things that someone sent me is, I don't want a bunch of stuff or someone to waste money or spend too much money buying a gift for me. It's more being thought of in the moment that makes me feel loved, not the value of something. So that kind of just sums up everything we were just talking about. And gifts are a physical representation of that love. And sometimes once you give a gift, it can be a constant reminder to the person who has gotten the gift of the affection and thoughtfulness that the person put into this gift. And so I know that I've received gifts in the past where every time I use it, I think of that person and I'm just so grateful for them. And sometimes it'll remind me to pray or thank God for that friendship. And so gifts are such a tangible way to show someone that you love them.
Now, when somebody's love language is gifts, it should be something that is for specific occasions, but then also spontaneous. If they are gifts, you definitely don't want to miss any of the major holidays or their life events. You want to make sure that you are very particular about those days where gifts are generally expected. But then also, it's important to make sure that you do things on occasion where they're not connected with anything, where they're a surprise and they're not expecting or anticipating that at all. And I think this is just a general psychological concept. The more you expect something, the less joy you generally get out of it. And so for birthdays, people generally expect that they're going to get gifts on birthdays and Christmas. And it's very common, especially in relationships, for people to like get little gifts and chocolates and things like that on Valentine's Day. But if you're also showing them I care and I love and I'm thinking about you outside of those special holidays with those spontaneous occasions, whether it's you see a pretty flower on the side of the road and you stop and you pick it and you bring that home, or you're in the store and you see their favorite candy bar and you grab that and you bring that home to them. They don't necessarily have to be big things, but they are these spontaneous, thoughtful moments where you're just bringing them home something that shows them, hey, I was thinking about you and I care about you.
And I think this might be also where that thought process of, okay, gifts can be sometimes seen as shallow if you're expecting it and you're like, they didn't even get me anything. This is a good example of that because, you know, we always tell our kids, be thankful, be grateful for what you get, because we don't want them to be entitled and we do want them to have a heart of gratitude. But I can totally see people who have gifts as their primary love language and say their spouse didn't get them anything on these special occasions. It's easy to kind of shame them or tell them like, you know, just be thankful, or it's not even in the gift. But for people with this love language, this is an important way to fill your partner's love tank. And so instead of shaming your partner or making them feel like they're not even grateful, maybe look and see, is their love language gift? And if it is, then make sure that you make it a point, especially at these special times, but also like Tim said, just kind of at spontaneous times as well.
So let's talk a little bit about how to provide this love language. And the first thing we're going to discuss is listening and observing. So this goes along with what we talked about a little bit ago about this thoughtfulness, but you want to be paying attention and looking for hints that express what they might be interested in or something that they need so that you can get it without asking them about it. Because again, this love language, you being able to pick out the correct gift for them is the thing that really helps them to feel and understand that you love and you care about them. It was thoughtful. They know me. Look, I love this thing and they got that for me. Oh my gosh, this feels so great and so wonderful. And so you really do want to take that time to listen and observe. So for me, gifts is one of my lowest. And so I actually kind of struggle with getting gifts, especially when somebody gets something for me and it's a surprise and I have no idea what it is. Because a lot of times it's not really something that I wanted or I was super interested in. But I also don't put out any like hints or feelers as to something that I'm interested in. And so actually, a lot of times getting gifts makes me uncomfortable because immediately when I get the gift, I'm like, there's a decent chance I'm not going to be pleased with it. And so I'd rather people ask me, hey, what do you want? And then me think about something and then tell them, okay, I'd like you to get me this. Because then being able to pick it out, a lot of times the things I want are fairly particular. or I want to research it and I want to look into it and make sure I get the right thing that I'm looking to complete the task or the job that I want it to do. So a part of it for me is like the path to victory is very narrow, but it's because when I get something, it's like, okay, I want to get the thing that fits what I'm looking for to do, not just something that's generally in the area of what I want it to be. And so for me, like, it just doesn't work the same way. I would much rather tell people like, oh, here's what I'm looking for. Get this exact thing. And then that's what I want.
Another way to provide for this type of love language is to embrace the element of surprise. So we kind of talked about this earlier with using special occasions and spontaneity, but unexpected gifts at unexpected times can significantly reinforce the feeling of being loved and cherished for those whose love language is gifts. Because I think it does go to what Tim was saying, that a lot of times, you know, at birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations, there is some level of expectation for a gift, especially if it's been a pattern in your relationship. You know, your spouse has gotten you a gift, or your parents get you a gift, or whatever the situation is. But these unexpected gifts really can add to the love bank. It was just another level of thoughtfulness. And so if you have a partner or a child or a parent whose love language is gifts, look for opportunities where when you think of them and you want to get them something, then get it for them. I think there's a lot of times where I'm walking through the store and I think, oh, so-and-so would love this, or so-and-so would totally buy this. If that person is gifts, and you know, it doesn't have to be expensive, but if it made you think of them and it's just a small gift that you can get them, then I would get it and send it to them or give it to them, and it'll really make their day.
Another thing that you want to take into consideration is that, again, these gifts don't have to be monetary in value, especially if you're on a budget and you have some financial constraints and you may not be able to just run out and buy flowers or buy them something that's thoughtful. But another thing that goes along with this is then being crafty. And so making crafts or picking up flowers you see by the side of the road. As a matter of fact, right now in Tennessee, flowers are blooming all over the place right now. And it'd be really easy to make a bouquet of flowers. As a matter of fact, even in our yard, we could just go in our yard and pick a bunch of flowers and then put them in a bouquet, and it doesn't cost anything. And so if you don't have the finances to always be buying something, take some time and do some type of a craft, something that you are putting your energy and effort into. And a lot of times I think that can even be better received by the person who's gifts because you actually put time and effort into it, not just money.
And lastly, we're going to talk about things to avoid if your partner's love language is gifts. So clearly the first one is you want to avoid forgetting special occasions. So you don't want to overlook birthdays, anniversaries, or any other significant dates that can make the other person feel undervalued and forgotten. Because just like we talk about adding into their love bank, when you forget these special occasions, it's a huge withdrawal for them. Because it's not just a materialistic thing, but like we've been saying, it's you telling them that you did not think about them and you forgot about this special occasion. And so you don't want to do those big withdrawals. And so make sure that you have special occasions marked in your calendar. And if you want even a little more bonus, maybe do special occasions that are important just for you and your spouse. Like if you remember small dates, and that could be just something like if you remember the date of your first date or your first kiss. And a lot of people won't remember that, and that's okay. But if you do, that could be an extra bonus.
And another thing I would put out here too, if you're one of those people who protest Valentine's Day and you don't like it because you feel like it's just kind of a corporate holiday, but your partner is somebody who is gifts, please don't protest that. You're not hurting the big corporation by doing that. You're hurting your partner. So just find something else to like protest and not participate in, but don't do it for Valentine's Day if your partner is gifts. The other thing is giving a thoughtless gift. So if you give them a random or generic gift, it lacks any kind of personal significance, then that's something that's going to kind of poke at them and make them feel uncomfortable or unhappy. Because again, the goal of the gift is not in the receiving, but it's in what the gift represents. It represents an understanding of the person that you're giving the gift to. I know who you are. I see you. And I know you would love something like this.
As we've been talking to people about the five love languages, in that same conversation we were having, they had said that sometimes generic gifts can also have an effect of making me feel like that person doesn't really know me or what I like. I don't take offense to it, though, or get hurt. But when someone's very thoughtful, and it shows me that they know me. So I know we've talked about thoughtfulness a lot throughout this episode, but that's because it's so important, and that is the meaning behind the gifts. It's showing them that you've thought of them and you've put effort into it. So this next one to avoid goes along with the forgetting special occasions, but it's postponing the gift giving without a reason. So consistently delaying or making excuses for not giving a gift, especially when it's an occasion where you would typically give a gift, and that can be hurtful. So maybe it's their birthday or Mother's Day, and you say, oh, I haven't gotten your gift yet. And, you know, there's grace in that, and that's okay. But when that's consistently happening, it can make them feel like they're not worth the effort.
So another thing is discounting your partner's appreciation for gifts. So what we mean by that is if you're belittling or mocking your partner's love language by calling it materialistic or superficial, it's going to pierce their heart. It's going to make them feel very uncomfortable. And again, it's easy to look at this love language as materialistic, but the gift is a representation of your love. And so if you are mocking the way that they receive love, you're basically telling them something's wrong with you. You're inadequate the way that you are. You shouldn't be this way. But people aren't choosing their love languages. This is just the way that they have naturally come to feel loved and appreciated. And so you can combat that and fight that, or you can accept who your partner is. And let me tell you, that's a much easier avenue than trying to change them away from it, because you might get them to stop asking for it or to pretend like they don't care anymore, but I'll tell you, they do.
And the last thing to avoid is expecting something in return. Giving a gift with the expectation of receiving something in return, oftentimes it undermines the sincerity of the gesture, or it feels like, oh, I'm just doing it because it's an obligation. But gifts should be given freely and with love. And so really thinking, how can I give gifts to the people in my life whose love language is receiving gifts in a way that is a blessing to them and makes them feel loved? And you're doing it because you want to pour into them and really express your love in the way that they receive it best. And so part of that is, as you're giving a gift, not really thinking, well, they better give me something of the same value, or I better get something on my birthday too. But it really is thinking of the other person. And I would say this is important in general, not just for people who are receiving gifts, but making sure that as you're giving a gift, you're not doing it because, gosh, it's just an obligation. Or when you give a gift, you're not expecting a gift in return. And I know that's part of the culture, and I know that's part of the different occasions we celebrate throughout the year, but it doesn't have to be. And I do think it's become a culture where it's now so stressful on these holidays, where we really miss the point of what gift giving is. And so for people whose love language is receiving gift, making sure that you're doing it with the right heart and the right intention.
Now, if you're listening to this and you're feeling shame for your love language of receiving gifts, what that probably means that you've received damage along the way somewhere, and somebody has shamed you for how you receive love. Now, if that's the case and you're feeling like, oh man, I hate that this feels so uncomfortable, well, let me tell you, there's something that we can do about that. Ruth and I have our coaching program, Coaching with Truth, and if you'd like to set up a discovery call, or if you'd like to set up a session where you want to work on the pain or the damage that's been caused to you, we'd be happy to work with you. Now, if you would like to set up either that discovery call or an actual session with us, we have a link in the description below that you can click and you can set up a time to meet with us at. All right, you guys, that's all we have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.